Hello, and welcome to the Bookish Banter podcast, where we'll be sharing our opinions about our favorite books, authors, and bookish impulse buys. Follow along on our journey to finishing and sharing our endless TBR. Go ahead and subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on our Instagram and TikTok at the Bookish Banter podcast. Let's get started.
I think it's fair to say you guys know I love coffee. I cannot get through the day without it, and somehow I've become the person who exclusively drinks Fable Grounds coffee. Every time I go on vacation, I think I should seriously bring some with me because nothing tastes like it. It's roasted in small batches in Maryland, and it's every book lover's dream. Fable Grounds has fandoms like Lord of the Rings, Six of Crows, and even some of our favorite Greek gods. The bag sizes range from 2 ounces all the way up to 12, so you can try a few different flavors before you find your perfect one. She also has gorgeous stoneware mugs that I use quite literally every single day. There is nothing like drinking coffee out of a stoneware mug. It is an experience, I'll say that. So check out Fable Grounds Coffee and use my code LLAMA10 to save on your next purchase.
Hello, how's it going?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. So happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited. I have a special guest on today. If you want to say hello and introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Jacqueline Goldis. I am the author of The Main Character, which is out May 21st. It's a locked room thriller on the Orient Express down the western coast of Italy. And there's sun and murder.
Love it. It's so dreamy, you know, like the Italy part of it is very dreamy.
Thanks.
So we start off all of our episodes with a series of questions. So I'll start with those. And my first question for you is, what is your favorite standalone?
Oh, wow. You know, I think I go back to, there's a book called Beach Music by Pat Conroy. I read it in high school and just always stuck with me. It's set in South Carolina and it's like this family saga. It's so good. And he's just like a dreamy writer. He's like writes description like no one else. It's a good one.
I have to look that one up. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's so good. If you want to like cry, it's a good tearjerker too.
Okay. That's good to know. Good warning.
Yeah.
So my next question is, what is your favorite series?
Oh, I mean, I'm a thriller writer, so I have to go Agatha Christie, Hercule Poirot is just the classic. I'm obsessed. I've read all those books multiple times.
Great choice. Not shocking either.
Yeah.
So our next question is, who is your ultimate book boyfriend, aka your favorite male character?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I am a big rom-com reader.
Okay.
I wouldn't go to my thrillers for that. There's a Irish author. Her name's Vari McFarland. She's amazing. I don't know if you know her. I love her book so much. And I don't remember the guy's name. Oh, maybe I do. There's a normal person dating celebrity one. And I think his name is Elliot. He's like very cute. Yeah. I love all her boyfriends, all the men.
I will have to check her out. I've never read her, but I do love a good rom-com. So I'm into that.
Yeah. I recommend.
Okay. So last question is, who is your ultimate book girlfriend, AKA your favorite female character?
Also going back to childhood, Nancy Drew. I mean,
was one of the
series that ignited my love for writing. And I guess ultimately I love mysteries. So yeah.
Oh, I love that one. We love a good throwback. That's so fun.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what inspired you to become an author?
Yeah, of course. So I've honestly known I've wanted to be an author since my earliest memory. I was always like writing stories as a kid. Whenever anyone asked what I wanted to do, that's what I said. Yeah. My parents were like, but you need a job that actually pays money. But I wrote my first novel when I was 17. And then I eventually went to college and I decided to go to law school. And so that was my plan of like how I was going to have this career to make money. But in the back of my head, I was always like, okay, I'm going to save some money and have this career to fall back on. And then I'm going to give writing a try. And I ended up staying a lot longer as a lawyer than I thought I would. I thought I would save up money for a couple of years and then take off and write. And it ended up being like 7.5. And so I think maybe no one was believing me at that point. They were like, are you really going to leave? I got so close to partnership. It was like the year I left was the year I would go up for partnership. And yeah, I was living in Chicago. I decided to pack my stuff into a carry-on backpack and I traveled the world for a year and wrote novels, and that's how it started. That first book I wrote that year was like my first one that was published, and yeah, I've been writing ever since.
My gosh, that sounds so magical. I love
Thank
that.
you. Thank you. Yeah, there were a lot of scary moments along that path, but
Yeah.
I'm happy where it's landed me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's turned out great. I mean, I often think about recklessly packing up my entire life and traveling the world, so I can relate 100%.
Well, I can give you tips for how to like squeeze everything into a
Yeah.
carry-on.
Yeah,
My own action
I have nothing to fall back on. I don't plan to ever be an author, so I don't know how I'd make
Yeah.
money, but putting everything in the
Well,
carry-on sounds so fun.
yeah, it was. It really was.
I love that. So, can you give us a spoiler-free overview of the main character and what it's about?
Yeah, of course. So it is about a woman named Ginevra X, who's a reclusive, mysterious author, and she has this unique way of writing her bestsellers, which is that she hires real people, pays them a lot of money to tell them her life, their life stories, and then she fictionalizes them. And so her latest main character is Rory, and Ginevra gifts Rory this luxurious trip along the newly refurbished Orient Express that's going down the western coast of Italy. And when Rory boards the train, she's shocked to see people she recognizes. So there's her brother, her best friend, and her ex-fiance. And they've all been invited by Ginevra, and they're all hiding secrets. And as the train rolls down the western coast of Italy, they kind of romp around Cinque Terre and Rome, but these secrets come out and lies, and there's some danger, and they're not really exactly sure why they're on this trip. And so the question is, did Ginevra give them a dream trip, or is this a nightmare? So
Yeah.
that's basically the gist.
No, I love that. It was, yeah. As soon as I heard that it was like set in Italy on the Orient Express, I was like, okay, I'm interested. And then I started reading it and I was like, wow, I love this. So,
Oh, thank you. Thank you so
yeah, I
much.
think it's fun to kind of set it in like these exotic locations. But what made you decide to set it on something as iconic as the Orient Express?
Yeah, I know someone had asked me like, I don't know if what the exact question was, like, was I intimidated about the Agatha Christie angle? And you know, it's funny, it like I wasn't trying at all to, you know, she obviously has the very famous murder on the Orient Express. And I think I just like it was felt like tongue in cheek a little bit to me of like taking that idea and
Yeah.
just like running with it in my totally own way. I didn't even reread hers. I mean, I loved her book, obviously. And so there's something about that setting that to me is just like so iconic. And the truth is that they recently refurbished them, so they're actually like running now again, the same kind of vintage trains. And so I don't know, that just felt like to me I had to use it in some way, and
Yeah.
so I ran with it.
Yeah, it's like a good nod to people who are like murder mystery fans. You feel like you're like, okay, this makes sense and I like that. And it's like it is
Yeah.
so different than Agatha Christie's, but it's like it's a good nod to like the old school sort of murder mystery style.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping for.
Yeah, I love that. So what kind of drew you to the murder mystery genre in the first place?
Yeah, it's so funny. It was never what I was like. I mean, when I said I wrote my first novel at 17, and then I wrote a couple in my 20s when I was a lawyer, and it was not the murder mystery genre. And then my first book that came out was historical fiction. So it wasn't, but all of a sudden, when I was about to write a new book, I was thinking about everything I was reading, and I realized that over the years I just really gravitated towards mysteries. Like that was the bulk of what I was reading, and I kind of thought to myself, well, if that's what I'm really enjoying reading, why am I not trying to write that? And I think I realized I was really intimidated because I knew at that point, I felt like I knew how to write like a women's fiction book, but mystery felt just, I don't know, scarier to me. And so, but I think I like a good challenge when I'm writing. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna try this. And that turned into The Chateau, which is my first thriller that came out last year, and I loved it so much. It was like the most fun I ever had writing a book. And yeah, I'm not looking back the main character, and I just sold two more thrillers actually to my publisher. So
Nice.
this is a genre that I'm here to stay in. I'm loving
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, I feel like it's if I was ever going to write a book, I would write romance because I'm like, okay, it has a formula and there's a very like a very structured formula to it. And I
Yeah.
feel like I don't have it in me to like come up with the mystery element. Like I could never keep any of it straight. I'd be like, who did I decide was going to be the one who did
Yeah.
it? And
Yeah.
how? And I could never, I couldn't. But I love that. Like you feel like you read it a lot and you're like, okay, this is something I want to write about because you're very familiar with it. But did you struggle at
Yeah.
all to kind of keep all your storylines connected and like where you were going to drop your clues and Easter
Oh my
eggs?
God. Yes, it's so funny because I'm working on a new book right now and I do this thing like I walk on the beach every morning. I live next to the beach and I walk on the beach for an hour every morning like without my phone, and it's so the time. I almost feel like it's work time because
Yeah.
I'm just like thinking through what I'm going to write that day, and plot points just like occur to me and fall into place. I'm like, oh, this and this. But I was thinking today how, yeah, a mystery feels like there's so many threads and you're like picking up one, dropping it, picking up another, and you're just like juggling, you know, you're like juggling balls constantly. So it does feel like that, but I'm a plotter, so I know what's going to happen. Maybe not down to like on the chapter level, but I know what's going to happen through the book. So I think that makes it easier. I think if I went in just like with nothing, which I admire pantsers, but I don't think I could do that for a mystery.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think for like a mystery, you definitely have to have a plot because it's like if you want to do red herrings or you want to have someone else that's like involved in any way, you have to have that all like planned out ahead of time because you're like, this can't be too obvious, too unobvious, not make sense. Like you, I feel like you have to go in with a plan.
Totally. I mean, hats off to anyone who can do it without, but I
Yeah.
definitely need a plan.
It's not me. I won't be that person.
Yeah. Same. I mean, same.
So I'm curious, did you always have your specific ending in mind or did it ever change throughout the process or like, you know, did you,
No. Or sorry, I always did have it in mind. Actually, for the main character, it's funny. I see like a picture of like it's sometimes an image or something is one of the first kernels of a book. And for this one, I saw, yeah, no spoilers, but I saw the last image that you see in the book is like one of the first things I saw that I knew going into the book. And so, and I kind of at first questioned, I'm like, what is that where I'm going? Like, but I don't know. It was what I saw from the beginning. And so that's like always where I knew I was aiming towards. But I think every book is different. My last one, I didn't like, I had written a different ending and I knew it wasn't right. And so that one, like, the ending came like totally after the fact. But yeah, this book I knew.
All right, perfect. Yeah, because I'm like, I feel like you would get into it and you'd be like, okay, I can give you these four different endings. And then it's like as you're writing it, I could definitely see, you know, being like, oh, well, this character actually feels more like the person that would do it or, you know, the person that would die or whatever it is, and kind of changing it along the way. But yeah.
You know what's funny though is like I think everyone's different, the reader and as an author, but I don't know how to explain this. I somehow get this book in my mind that like this is the only way it can be, and I almost like at a certain point don't see the other options, too,
Yeah,
if that makes sense. Like,
totally fair.
so sometimes when like readers will tell me that they thought something else was going to happen, I was like, what? I'm always like, wow, because it's not like I thought through. I don't know, just somehow it develops into something, and then I have almost blinders on where it's hard to see like what else it could, you know what I mean? What
Yeah,
else it
but
could.
I feel like that's good because it makes it more convincing. Like if they can come up with different ideas and you're like, this is the only one I had in mind, you're like, no, then you know everything like connects, you know what I mean? And all the
Yeah,
questions are
that's true.
answered. So it's
Yeah,
good. It's
that's
good
true.
that they can come up with something else because I feel like that keeps it from being like too obvious.
Yeah, I love that. I always say, I think that's why I'm actually a really bad solver of mysteries. Like when I'm reading
It's
them,
not
I
me.
never, I cannot solve them because I always think like the author must have had this specific vision, and it's hard for me to like get that exact one, you know? I don't know.
I feel like I can never guess the plot of anything. Like
Me
I'm always like,
too.
I am genuinely shocked. I'm so
Same.
surprised.
Same. Like you would think as a murder mystery writer, I'd be this like savvy. I got it, but no, I never get it.
Yeah, I read a lot of thrillers and every time I'm like, wow, that is not where I thought that was gonna go at all.
Same.
I
Same.
love it. So, what was it like writing about an author who's kind of pulling a lot of the strings in this as an author, you know, yourself? What was that like?
Yeah, it was fun to write an author. I mean, it was so fun to give her this like shtick of how she does it in terms of hiring people to write their stories, and you know, because, and I won't give any spoilers, but she has, you know, a backstory that's painful and traumatic, and I do think that as authors we do mine our own stuff, you know, it's like we can only write from our, obviously we spin our own stuff into fantasy land, and so it's not like any of these characters are me or anything, but I think like truisms that I know for myself like definitely come out in my work. So I think it was so interesting to play with an author who doesn't want to look at herself, who doesn't want to use anything of her own and only wants to use other people's stories. That was like so fun for me. Yeah, I loved it. I loved writing an author, even though like she's very different for me.
Yeah, I kind of like when people mention books or authors and stuff inside of books, because I feel like it's like a little love letter to readers. If you're like,
Yeah.
a very avid reader, like dedicated fan, I think it's so fun. And I'm always curious what it's like as you as an author to write about an author.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I agree. It was
Yeah,
fun.
and she's such an interesting character because it's like I feel like we are in an era of a lot of like newer authors coming about, like you have one or two books out and those sorts of things, and or 10 books, whatever. But like the age of these authors who've written like 50 books is kind of like come and gone. Like a lot of them, are not writing anymore or what have you. So it was fun to read about an author who's like notorious in the industry, has done all these things, knows a lot, and is like really grappling for to stay relevant. And it's kind of cool how, yeah, I really liked her character. I thought she was super interesting.
Oh, I love that you said that too. Yeah, it was fun like writing that element of her where she was so much obviously more established and best-selling than me, and like to have this like kind of your top of the industry view, like powerful. It was fun. It was so fun to write that and
Yeah,
like
I loved
imagine
it.
like, yeah.
So, where did you find the inspiration for your storyline?
Oh, wow, it's so funny. I get inspiration in so many places that it's hard for me to like pinpoint where. For this one, I had seen an article about the newly refurbished Orient Express trains, and I had kind of thought, because the trains go from like one place to another, they're transporting someone from like one city to another, but I wanted to make it into like a trip where, why can't you just go on the, like, kind of like a cruise ship, go on the train, like get off at certain places, get back on for the night, go to a new place. Like, so that was kind of the origin point. But it's funny, the commonality is I always get a new idea, like when I'm a few months away from finishing a good draft of like my current book. Like that's when I feel like it's like always when an idea starts kind of knocking on my door because I just got a new idea. So yeah, I think that that's like the commonality is that's when ideas come, but where they come from, I think is, yeah, so random. But
Yeah, kind of varied, but similar.
my books start with settings, so I guess a lot of times like the setting piece comes first because I like setting them in like exotic lo international locations.
Yeah, what made you kind of decide to set them in these fun exotic locations?
You know, I've always loved traveling. Like, you know, I backpacked for the year that time. I live abroad. I just like my dad's from Ukraine, so like I have an immigrant parent. I don't know. I just am really interested. I think it's really interesting to write Americans abroad because there's culture clashes and that element. And it's like really fun for me always to, first of all, it's fun to go research a new place. Like I went this summer to research the place for the book I'm writing now, and that was so fun. But yeah, it's fun. Like I always interview people when I'm writing, like who are from there or live there. And that part is really fun for me. So yeah, I don't know. I really like sending stuff abroad.
Yeah, I love that. I'm the same way. I'm like, I would like to travel. I'd like to not be here.
Yeah, exactly. It's like armchair traveling is so fun, you know? Like I love traveling through the pages of a book personally as a reader. So
Yeah,
it's
anytime
fun
it's
to
set in Europe, I'm
write.
like, I will take that. Thank you.
Right? Yeah, that's how I feel too.
Yeah, I love it. So, what kind of research did you do for this book? Did you go to Italy and check everything out, or?
Well, I wish I could say, I wish I could tell you that I took a trip on the Orient Express, but my research budget was not that high for this
Yeah.
one.
Fair.
But no, I have been to Italy multiple times, and I've been to like all the places in the book, other than I haven't been to Positano, but I've been to Cinque Terre, which is really like one of my favorite places in the world. I just love it there so much. I've always wanted to set a book there. And also Rome is one of my favorite cities. So but I also talked to a bunch of Italians. I read like a bunch of books about Italy. An amazing one called The Italians. If you're at all interested in Italy, oh my God, it's such a good book. Yeah, that was mostly the research.
I love it. I was going to ask because it felt like very descriptive, like as I'm reading it and they're going on all these hikes and they're wandering around and doing all these things. I was like, wow, this feels like you were sipping, an Aperol spritz on the beach while writing this. So
Oh, thank you. Okay, I love that. You know
yeah.
what I also do is like because I didn't go to Italy right before writing this trip, like I had been, I mean, writing the book, I had been, but I didn't go specifically for research. But my parents are really funny. They love to like watch YouTube travel videos, and they all
Okay.
my dad's always like, I went to Japan yesterday, you know, like, but they're surprisingly like, they're amazing. You can get the most nitty-gritty like YouTube videos on any place. So as a writer, it's like unbelievable.
Well,
Yeah, it really is.
yeah, YouTube is like a wealth of knowledge. I'm like, wow, you could literally find
It
anything here.
is. Yeah, it's I don't know how people were authors like 30 years ago writing books like set in locations that they couldn't go to. Like,
Yeah.
I feel like that's impossible.
I would like to go back and read them and see how accurate they are.
Yeah, right. Well,
Absolutely.
actually, you know what? They probably had the benefit that like the readers, you know, if they're writing a book set in Italy, the Italians weren't complaining on social media that they got
That's
everything
right.
wrong. So maybe
Yeah,
that
people
was
probably
the
hadn't been there. Yeah, that's fair.
upside.
So, what was the hardest scene for you to write in this book? Or type of scene?
Well, I think that without giving anything away, the there's always at least one confrontation scene, you know, sometimes the murder scene. I think that can be hard always for me because there's a lot of moving pieces. There's always like a lot of information you need to relay to the reader in that scene because oftentimes you don't know what's in the murderer's head until that scene.
Happening.
And so you need to get it out, but you don't want it to feel like an info dump. So I do always feel when I think about my books that that's like one of the most challenging scenes to write. And I think it was in this one too.
Okay, totally fair. What was your favorite scene to write in this one?
So there's the day they spend hiking in Cinque Terre was just so fun for me. I mean, there's like some hijink, you know, there's some danger elements too, but the danger elements were fun for me to write. The just like sun-soaked atmosphere was fun. I think again because I love that place, it was fun for me to revisit in my mind. But yeah, that was super fun. And also the second chapter when our main character like comes onto the train, like that was just so fun for me to imagine her boarding the train in this like crazy scenario that she sees people she knows. Actually, that was one of my first images too, like for the book. I knew that she was going to see people she knew on the train, but I didn't know why they were there. And so that was like how I kind of started.
Yeah, she really thinks she's just gonna like have a relaxing time, and then it's like,
Oh, you?
okay, everybody's here.
Yeah, totally. The whole game's here.
Yeah, I love it. That's yeah, it was very it's startling for sure.
Good.
So, what made you decide to write in the multi point of view and give, every character their own voice?
You know, I love reading multi point of views. Like, I think it's so fun to dive into like a bunch of readers' heads. Also, then you can have like an unreliable narrator sprinkled in there, which I think is super fun. I just think it keeps it spicy because, you can like then you can write from the point of view maybe of the murderer, also victims, maybe, you know. Have people have secrets, but if you only stay in their point of view, it's like hard to keep alluding to things, keep shifting. It kind of, I don't know, I think it increases the suspense because you just keep being like, well, maybe that's the murder, maybe it's her, you know. So I don't know. I think it's fun and I think it works from like a story perspective. And so far it's the like structure I've chosen for all my thrillers.
I love that because I feel like a lot of the times in thrillers you get one POV and they're always like vaguely unreliable, like you're not sure why, but you're like, I don't really think I trust this person. And then when I really liked the way you set it up because you're like every time you switch, they're kind of having their internal monologue and it's like, well, they don't know about this, dot dot dot, and you're like, neither do we, and I would love to know. But it's like
Totally.
everybody's kind of unreliable at that point. And yeah, I think it definitely keeps up the pacing for sure.
Oh, thank you. Good. I'm glad. I think it's great because I like it, like getting into one person's character and then I get to switch. It keeps it spicy for me. You know,
Yeah,
it's fun.
definitely. And it's like, I think it's really, I don't know, maybe I haven't read a lot of thrillers, but I feel like it's kind of uncommon to have all the characters' points of views for a thriller because, yeah, we want like most of the time they want like one unreliable narrator.
Totally.
I love it. So, was this writing process for the main character different from the chateau at all, or did you kind of keep the same structure?
You know, I've written a bunch of books now, so I feel like I pretty much know how I like to write and how I write well. Yeah, and I don't think there's I don't know. It's funny. I love also hearing like authors' processes, but I always think it's just so fascinating how some things work for some people and some things work for others, you know? But yeah, it was pretty similar. Like I tend to plot a lot. Like I spend a few months like researching, plotting, really in that phase. And then for some reason, the first 50% of the book takes me like a few months, and then the second 50% of the book takes me like 6 weeks to write. Like I write it so like once I'm past the 50% point, I just like cruise, and then my life becomes the book. All I want to do is write. So I don't know. It's like I always say I'm gonna like do it more even. I'm not gonna like because it's like kind of becomes crazy. Like my whole life for those 6 weeks becomes the book. But I don't know. It's the only way I've felt like I just that's how I write best, I guess. So that was my
For sure.
process for this one.
Yeah, it's like you write best under pressure.
Well, it's not even under pressure because I'm always somehow before my deadlines. Like I write pretty fast, but it's more just like my own. Like I'm like, oh my God, it's like spill, you know, sometimes something's spilling out like faster than I can even type it. It's like, and it's just like my whole mind then becomes like filled with the book. And so, yeah.
That's valid. Like I feel like when you get towards that second 50%, though, everything is happening and you're like, okay, I just have to get this out on paper and like make sure it's set up the way you want it to be set up and you want it to be done. And it's just like it's
Yeah,
an exciting part of the
exactly.
book.
Yeah, totally. I think the first 50% of a book is like laying so many threads, like you said, and laying so much like character groundwork. And then once you've like laid it all, then it kind of just can pay off. So it's like barreling forward. Yeah.
Totally fair. Is your writing process for these different than your women's fiction when you first started writing, or is it you're like you're saying pretty much the same?
Yeah, I would say it's funny. Like, I feel like my first books were such like learning experiences for me. So I don't know. I know that there's one book, like my first book actually that was published. Like that book ta really taught me how to write a novel. I think like in that one, I threw out for it wound up being 100,000 words, and I threw out probably at least 150,000. You know, like that book took me years to revise and get it. And something from that process, I just like learned how to write a book, and now my process is way more seamless and it feels like easier to me, but I think because I put in those decades of writing books that didn't succeed and that, you know, and I'm quite happy to like have them, a lot of those old ones live under my bed forever. But I think I learned how to write a book from those. And so it's easy. It feels easier now.
Totally fair. Very fair. So, do you have any advice for any aspiring authors?
Yeah. I think number one is don't give up. Like, don't ever give up. I remember I had a moment when I was trying to get an agent after I had left my job and I'd been traveling and I had settled, and it was like 2 years later, and I had written this book and I kept revising it and I wasn't getting an agent and I felt so defeated, I remember. And then I just decided, like, you know what? I'm never giving up. I love writing so much. If I don't get an agent, so I'll like go back to law, I'll get some other job, but I'm gonna keep writing. I'm always gonna keep writing. I'm never gonna stop. And then I think I got my agent like a couple weeks after that. But I think that it was like an important moment that of like me making a contract with myself and with the universe of like, I'm never giving up. I'm always gonna do this no matter what. And I think like every writer goes through that. And it has to be like for a bigger reason that you're doing it, at least for me. It's a bigger reason than just being published. It's like, I'm writing because I absolutely love it and I can't not. And it's so fun creating stories. And so I think don't give up, and also just like find the joy as much as you can in your writing, because that's like, to be honest, the best part of it. Like there's so many amazing parts of it, you know, but I feel like the best part is like getting to do it, you know?
Yeah, you have to like love it to want to continue to do it and make a career out of it. It has to be fun.
Yeah. Totally, totally.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's always good too to like set not boundaries, but like set goals for yourself. And like if you don't meet them, you're like, okay, what am I gonna do next? And like what are the next steps? And like holding yourself accountable, because it's really easy to get in your own head and just be like, oh, well, I didn't accomplish this, so I guess it's like never gonna happen, or you know, this happened, and then like how to keep yourself motivated to keep moving forward for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I love it. That's great. So, what's kind of next for you on the docket? I know this one's just coming out, but what's up next?
Yeah, well, actually, it's fun that we're getting to chat right now, because today, actually, was announced like my nap that I just sold two more books to my publisher. So I'm
Yay.
like very excited I get to write two more thrillers. I love my editor. I love my publishing team. And yeah, so my next thriller is coming out next May, and
Nice.
it is called The Safari. And it's a
Ooh.
locked room thriller set on a South African safari where a wealthy family is vacationing and there's a murder and they all start investigating each other. And yeah. Thank
I love that. Did you do research for that one in
you.
person?
Well, actually, well, so on my travels, like with my backpack, it was actually one of the first places I went was South Africa. So I like spent time on a safari there, which was so awesome. And ever since I've been wanting to write a book set there. So I didn't go back, but I
Okay.
had like thousands of pictures and
Yeah. You've been
memories.
before.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. I love it. So, do you have a book tour scheduled? Or are you attending any events this year?
So, because I live abroad, I'm doing some virtual stuff and I'm not exactly sure when I'll be back in the States, but I have like a virtual event with Poison Pen the week my book comes out, and yeah, some other things that I need to put on my website, I will put on my website. But yeah, nothing in person until whenever I next go back.
Okay, fun. Well, where can everybody find you on the bookish interwebs?
At Jacqueline Goldis on Instagram, jacquelinegoldis.com.
Awesome. Well, those were kind of the last questions I had. I really appreciate you coming on. Did you have anything else you wanted to share? Any other questions?
No, thank you so much for having me. This was so fun. I had the best
Yeah,
time talking to you.
absolutely.
Okay,
Okay.
perfect.
All right, thank you. Bye. Thank you guys for tuning into this week's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. If you aren't following us, go ahead and follow us on TikTok and Instagram at the Bookish Banter Podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. And thank you guys again for all of your support. Have a great day.